arts and crafts has always been part of having a good time. Arts, things that stimulate creativity, and crafts, things that you put together yourself. Craft brewing has always been a craft in itself, but not something that the general person went out and did for a fun night. But now, arts and crafts and craft brewing have been brought together in Graham Finkel's Brew It Yourself Brew-In Restaurant, which lets patrons brew their own beer, a multi-week process, right in their premise. Graham is with us today.
We do a lot of birthday parties and, you know, bachelor parties and those kinds of things. Pretty good business.
So, when people come in and decide that they are going to brew their own beers, what makes them decide that this commitment is worth it?
Oh, you know, they just probably drink a lot of beer, like beer, like the taste of it, and how it gets them drunk. That's what drew me to the business in the first place, is just I loved feeling drunk, you know?
Do you tell them up front that their beer will not be finished for days, even weeks?
You know, we fudge the numbers a little bit. Sometimes we'll give them a beer while they're brewing the beer, because then it gets them loose, and then you can kind of just do whatever you want, and they're... Listen, that came out very poorly. I don't mean you can give someone a beer and then do whatever you want. What I mean is...
Of course not.
That... Can we start this over?
Well, it's all been recorded, so you can say whatever you'd like, but I'm going to use whatever would make the best story for my radio
program. Okay, but that's not
going to
make a good story, because I just misspoke.
I don't know. I'm kind of digging it now.
So, Graham tells me to sit back here. I open up these cases of Domestic American, and then I pour them into the jugs that the customers buy. Then we sort of say that this is their beer. Just because we want to keep them, as Graham puts it, sort of pacified. We want them to, I don't know, those are his words.
What did Brandon tell you?
I'm sorry, you're trying to pacify the people with this beer.
Wait, hold up, Brandon said pacify?
Yes.
Okay, I instructed him very clearly not to use that word around anybody that might, you know, be writing anything down or recording anything. Pacify?
My first day, a customer got sort of ornery that he wasn't going to drink his own beer, and I distinctly remember Graham saying, "You'll drink what I give you, and you'll like it." And then he sort of slapped him on the nose like a puppy.
I fell, okay? I fell into him, and I was grabbing for any structure that I could find, and it happened to be his nose. He was a large nosed gentleman.
Dear Lord. Do you get many repeat customers?
The customers are generally pretty satisfied. Some people come in a group in a bachelor party kind of situation, and you know, one of the members of that bachelor party gets married a couple years later, and they remember, oh yeah, we brewed beer that one time. I don't remember many other details about it, but it's just because they got drunk on their own accord. They decided to come into a brewery. It's really hard to talk about beer.
I interviewed a customer, sleepy and who seemed to be somewhat confused as to where they were on their way out of the Brew It Yourself brewery.
Excuse me, do you know what time it is?
Yes, it is noon. Noon on a Thursday.
High noon?
Well,
is high noon?
I assume it can't get any higher, since high noon refers to how high the sun is in the sky. And as you can see, it is quite high.
And very, very, very bright. I got here when it was bright, and now I'm leaving when it's bright.
Now, tell me a little bit about your experience at the brewery.
I got to the brewery, and then they said, "You're going to drink your own beer." And I said, "Okay." And then they disappeared in the back. I mean, I don't know what they did with the beer.
We poured it out, and then we put other beer in it. This is what Graham tells me to do.
You're volunteering this information to me.
Oh, yeah. I hate Graham.
That beer, it's all beer. I mean, it's legitimate beer. Legally, we can call it beer. It's the same, alcohol content And I don't think there's really a problem with it. You know, it's kind of a beer it forward situation where you're brewing a beer that will eventually be drank by the next group of people that's brewing the next beer, you know? Brew it forward. I just came up with that just now, but you know what? I'm going to get a banner.
Wow. All I can say is it sounds like what you're doing here is highly illegal.
No, not even in the slightest. We got all the licensing and every... So are you going to put all of this in? Because we're a legitimate business, and I just don't think that you
It's sad knowing that people can be taken advantage of so easily. But really lots of things happen when people get very drunk. So on this episode of This American Lie, we were really drunk. A couple of stories about drinking, getting drunk, and the times we have while we do those things. For our first segment, Drunk and Rowdy, Gilbert Stoley has never been in a boxing ring. He's never taken a class of Muay Thai or Karate. But he considers himself a professional fighter. Gilbert Stoley considers himself a professional bar fighter. Our producer, Randall O'Rourke, found Gilbert and interviewed him about his nightly bar fights.
So, Gilbert, you've been doing the bar circuit for quite some time now.
That's right. I'm a welterweight pub champion.
Now, for our listeners at home,
you hear that?
Gilbert carries around a large boombox with him at all times to play fanfare.
This is a fight I did in April.
He also carries a large plastic bag filled with D-sized batteries, since the boombox needs batteries replaced every 10 to 15 minutes.
Can I tell you something?
Go ahead.
D batteries are hard to find. They're the hardest battery, maybe next to the square ones.
They're also very large.
Excuse me, sorry.
Hi, can I get two old fashions, and can I get a shot of Jameson?
We're here at O'Reilly's Pub.
Yep, I can do that.
Thank you.
Gilbert is scoping out.
Let me turn my boombox down. Let me turn my boombox down very slow. Oh,
thank you. Quicker. Now, do you see any potential competitors here tonight?
Yeah, that guy right there. You see that guy right there?
Oh, can I get one of the old fashions, no sugar?
Yeah, old fashions, no sugar.
It's not really an old fashioned, but yeah, sure.
Before I can tell by his drink. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm just ready for a fight.
Before I knew it, Gilbert had punched this stranger directly in the face.
What the fuck, man? What the fuck?
Oh, Jesus, those people fighting?
No, no one's fighting. This guy just punched me in the fucking face.
Well, you got Randall. You got O'Rourke.
I'm a grad student.
William, you were a victim of Gilbert's blow to the face.
He was, yes.
You haven't been to O'Reilly's Pub in 2 weeks?
Correct.
Out of fear of just getting punched at any time?
Yeah, and the doctor said that I shouldn't drink alcohol because of the Helig wound in my mouth.
Now, are you thinking about pressing charges against Gilbert?
I went to the cops, but they just said that, you know, this is kind of just who he is, and they know the guy, you know? And
I spoke to Police Chief Sandy O'Connor. Now, Ms. O'Connor, Chief O'Connor.
That's right.
There seems to be sort of a kind of look the other way policy with Gilbert, because the force, from what I understand, are big fans of his work.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. It's none of this look the other way. It's a bunch of we ain't got the time. All right. We've got bigger fish to fry than Gilbert Stoley, because, I mean, that guy's been around the block, been around the bar, been around everybody's face. I mean, he's punched more people than I can count.
And this has nothing to do with a lot of officers placing bets on some of his fights?
I don't know what you're talking about.
For our listeners at home, Miss O'Connor is sweating profusely. the pit stains in her blazer are very noticeable. I suspect she is not telling the truth. I went back to Gilbert. Now, Gilbert, are you getting any sort of compensation from these bets, sort of money under the table?
Sorry, my boombox just came on. Put some new batteries in it. What'd you say?
I said, Are you throwing any fights, essentially, is what I'm asking.
Am I throwing any fights?
Yeah.
I've never thrown a fight in my life. How dare you?
For our listeners at home, Gilbert's face is just beaten senseless. He clearly has been, has taken several hits in his time.
I've been representing Stoli the Unholy for the last 15 years.
This is Gilbert's manager, Roxwell Dingleberry.
He's a lucrative client, all right? You know what I'm saying? Very lucrative, all right? I sponsor many, many people throughout this whole county, all right? But Stoli the Unholy, boy, that guy can fight.
Now, if his fights are impromptu, he essentially walks into a bar, sees somebody he wants to punch, and punches them.
Yeah, bam, right in the face!
Now, are you telling me that these fights really aren't impromptu?
Well, you know, for the unsuspecting jarring partner they are, you know, sparring partner. But for Stoli and the whole, you know, police force, they're not. They're pre-planned. Everyone's there. Why do you think there's a crowd every time? I know what I'm doing. Come on.
They're pre-planned.
Wait, what?
What? Gilly, come on, man.
Am I not really the Third Circuit pub?
Of course you are, buddy.
Middleweight
champion.
Come here,
let me get those shoulders.
Off me. You tell me, you look at me in the eye.
Stole.
Mr. Stoli, I couldn't help but notice your boombox ran out of batteries again.
Oh, God, here. I got some D's for you, buddy. Come on, Gilly. Here you go. Big bag of D's, all right?
I don't want your D's anymore. I've been taking your D's for the last 15 years,
Gilly.
Roxwell.
Gilly, come on, buddy.
No.
I took your places, and I'll keep taking your places.
No.
You know, we had that Kansas City tour coming up. Don't you want to go to KC? Huh? We can go to both sides. Missouri and Kansas.
I'm done.
1-2. Bang, bang. Boom, boom.
Gilbert's retiring. I'm not going to live a life of lies anymore.
Gilly, no.
I caused a rift between the two. Someone wasn't happy about this. Chief O'Connor wasn't happy.
Are you sure Dingleberry was telling you the truth? Stoli's really going to be retiring? Is this true? This can't be true.
It appears he's calling it quits, which means...
Ah, he said it before. I don't believe it. I mean, not that I care. Not that I got a horse in this race or anything like that. He's just a staple of the community. And I care about his dreams.
Chief O'Connor is wearing a full bathrobe, absorbing the profuse sweat coming out of her body.
I appreciate you visiting me at my home in the evening to tell me this information.
I should add that I can visibly see a full pantsuit underneath the robe.
Mr. O'Rourke, do you enjoy gimlets? Would you like to come in?
Okay.
Let me change to something a little cooler.
Wow. Despite a story about violence, in the end, love was found. What a fascinating story here on This American Lie. When we come back on this episode of This American Lie, we were really drunk. We will have knock and enter when we return on This American Lie.
This American Lie is brought to you by arcade tickets. You think you have enough? Huh? They look like a lot. They look like a lot. But do you think you have enough for that top shelf? Probably not. Arcade tickets. They're just paper.
Welcome back to This American Lie. I'm John Ronson, standing in for Ari Grass.
And on this episode,
we were really drunk. We examined stories about drinking, about beer, and about the nights that we have due to those things. In our second segment of the night, Knock and Enter. For most of America, prohibition is a thing of the past. But in the small county of Lankmar, Tennessee, it is the past, present, and future. The aptly named Lou's Totally Legal Fish Shack is the longest running and last entirely illegal speakeasy. And our producer, Don Philip Bankman, goes to this speakeasy to find out a little bit what it's like in this blast from the past.
I'm standing on the street corner of a small Tennessee town of Lankmar. There's a park across the street, a library to the right, and behind me, a small, unassuming shop called Lou's Totally Legal Fish Shack. Now, I'm told that all you gotta do is go around to the side door where the shipments come in, knock four times, say the magic word, powder keg, and they'll let you right in. And, well, I'm here to do just that. So, here we go. I'm walking up, and I see the sign here. It says shipments. Very cool. I feel very cool doing this. I am excited. Lankmar is it's a dry town, a dry county, and what we're about to do is drink in a dry town. And I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to go to a speakeasy. So, this is great. Okay, let's just do it. Let's just do it.
Yo, what do you want? Sorry, let me turn this down. I got a full band back here.
Oh, man. What's going on in there? Sorry. A powder keg.
Please proceed around the rear of the building.
Yes, that is so cool. That is so cool. The man who greeted me was small, bearded, blonde, old, shy. Smelled a little bit like whiskey. But just a hint, you know? Really cool. Really cool. He wore sunglasses. I'm walking now along the back corner of the building here. Oh, there's a dumpster. I bet you that comes into play at some point. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. The dumpster smells kind of pukey. You know that like rotten, pukey food smell? Or maybe it's puke. I don't know. There's drinking going on in there. All right. He said there was a... What did he say? There's a door back here or something? Okay. I don't see a door. I guess I'll... Oh. There's a window. I'm going to knock on the window.
Hello again.
Oh, it's you again.
You made it past the first test.
Okay. Great.
Please take this rope and scale upward.
Awesome. I found myself crawling up the building, one by one, 1 foot in front of the other. You know, I did climbing in high school, and I many times got to the top of that rope. I was pretty cool in high school. I dated Larissa Thompsonville, and she was very nice, very sweet lady, and she's married now. I think she's teaching. I'm not sure. I should call her. No, I shouldn't call her because she's got a family. And oh, a man's psting at me. This is fucking awesome. Okay,
hi. Yes.
Shh.
What?
Shh. Keep your
voice down.
Right. Speakeasy. It's all very cool. Yes. Hi. Powder keg. Hi.
No, that's for the front door.
Okay. Yeah.
Give me the rope.
Oh, of course. Here. Okay. Here you go.
What do you have? What do you have? What do you
want? A speakeasy.
No, what do you... What do you want?
To be freaking cool. To be inside.
No, this is the bar. And then you go in.
Oh, bar up here, and then you bring the drink inside?
don't say that word.
Oh.
We call it.
What do you call it?
We call it.
Yeah.
Shh.
That is so cool.
It's called shh.
The sound of being.
No, not the sound of being. It's the sound of a static television.
Shh.
How do you make... How do you do a static television? No, no, that's too much energy. That's much electricity.
I was thinking of the HBO.
What do you want?
Thing.
What do you want?
G&T.
No, don't say what you want.
That's just letter. Okay, well, how do I order a G&T?
Blink at me in Morse code.
I don't know Morse code.
Well, then figure it out.
I thought back to a book I read in high school. But that didn't help me at all.
Oh, good, you're back.
Hi.
I take it you didn't use the rope? You didn't make it
I up did, there. Yeah. I was up there, and I tried to...
Goddamn, guys, take five. Take five.
I really want to get in there,
take
man.
Five.
Hey, this are we going to pay for this gig?
Yeah, relax.
Hi. We haven't been paid.
Sir, can I interview you?
Hey,
for? Can
no
I get...
talking to the clientele.
Oh, he seems like he's the band.
Take this book. Learn Morse code.
For the love of God.
Scale back up there.
I'll take anything to drink. Can I just...
Okay, I shouldn't even be talking, but you either follow the rules or you leave, okay?
I spent the next 25 minutes studying that book, and I learned a lot of cool Morse code, like save our souls, help, send help, things like that. And in the very back of the book, there was a system for ordering at a restaurant. And that included one drink, a rum Mai Tai. So I guess I'm having a Mai Tai. I scaled back up.
I can't make Mai Tais right now.
Are you kidding me?
I don't have...
Why are you allowed to say Mai Tai?
Because I work here.
Okay, but you can't make Mai Tais.
No, all I can make like highballs. That's basically...
Okay, great. Whatever you want.
But we'll blink it at
me. Bartender's choice, man.
Okay.
Thank God.
This is a salty nun.
A salty nun?
Yeah. It's a lot of gin.
Great.
Some grapefruit juice.
Okay.
And olives.
Hey! Hey, is there anybody in there? I swear if anyone's selling alcohol in there, we're gonna come beat you up.
Oh my God, this was so cool.
Just
there's a cop outside. Trying to infiltrate.
Just keep still.
You know this shit's illegal, huh?
I might be in the middle of a bust right now, and that is maybe the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Just hold my hand and shut the fuck up.
Why am I holding your hand?
Officer, can I help you?
Yeah. So, why is there so much jazz playing at your fish shop?
Because when I'm not fishing, I'm in a jazz band. That's a stupid question. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be disrespectful.
I set a microphone at the front door.
Hey, boys, we're gonna take five again.
What might happen?
Boys, we're taking five.
At the front door. And so, that is what you're hearing right now.
Look, I come here every week.
That's called fucking journalism, baby.
And I get more tips every time that there's alcohol being sold here. And every time, you're just playing jazz and selling fish.
Look... Don, can I call you Don? We've got a rapport.
Yeah, we do have a rapport.
You come here every week. I got nothing but bait and jazz, okay? Just good. Let me, I'm a simple man. Lou, let me live good. My life.
He's really good.
Ah, Lou. You know, when you say it that way, I guess the real reason I come by every week is because I like your company. You know, it's a lonely town and there's not much to do because we can't drink.
Hey, you know what? Here's a can of mealworms.
Wow.
On the house.
Huh. Well, you know, thanks.
What a good
But day. If I hear anything about you all selling alcohol here, I'll be back, and I'm bringing the other this time.
If alcohol is some of the finest music in the world, we're fully stocked.
This guy,
okay?
This guy's like the greatest liar I've ever seen.
All right.
We'll see you next week, Don.
And just like that... The cop walks away, and we're in the clear, and I've got my drink, and I can go right inside, right?
Oh, I guess no tip.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here you go. What's customary at a speakeasy?
I can't tell you the prices.
What?
Whatever.
I can't tell you the prices, so whatever you put down.
Okay, well, in a bar in New York where I live, it would be like $13 for a cocktail, and then I'd probably throw down an extra $2 for a tip. So I'll give you $15. How's that?
That's great. Okay. Through the chute.
I finally made it into the bar. And I was the only one there. Except for a jazz band playing away, playing their little hearts out. I'm gonna go up to them now.
Hey guys!
Hey man, I'm in the middle of a set.
Sorry, it's just no one else is in here, so I thought I could maybe interview you for a second.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Okay, I would love to tell you about it. So, I'm a reporter, and I've never been to a speakeasy before, and this is the only true speakeasy left in the country, and I heard about it through nefarious sources. It was super cool. I just kind of heard it through the grapevine. I came in to investigate. I did the whole rigmarole. Now I'm inside. I feel so cool.
I hate to break it to you, son, but this ain't the speakeasy.
What?
This ain't the speakeasy.
What do you mean?
You remember the cop?
Yeah?
He's the one who takes you to the speakeasy.
No! What?
Yeah. You get arrested,
oh.
You get in his car, and you head on down to the real speakeasy.
Damn it. The prison?
Well, we call it Mike's Camel Facility.
Huh.
Because we can't say that word.
Prison.
We can't say that word.
Huh. You know, I guess when it comes down to it, you're only as cool as the amount of times you've been to prison. And so, for my next report, I'm going to try and work on that. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to our jazz.
Hey, no problem, man.
Are you boys playing without me? Oh, come on.
Am I getting paid?
Well, you will. You will.
This drink is disgusting.
I've never been to prison, but I did get to time out once, and I think that makes me a little cooler. On our next segment on This American Lie, we were really drunk, totally skunked, when we come back for This American Lie.
This American Lie is brought to you by Mom Naps. Just give me 15 minutes, okay? Just play outside. Mom Naps. You need them.
Welcome back to This American Lie. On today's episode, we were really drunk. We are telling stories about drinking, about beer, about inebriation, and about the memories or lack thereof that come with it. For our next segment of the night, Totally Skunked, our producer, Imlyn Smythe, lost a grandfather recently. But in his will, he gave her something that mattered very much to him. The very first box of Coors Light that he ever bought over 70 years ago. Inside this box were two bottles of highly fermented beer and a series of pictures detailing their family's plight, living in suburbia. Imlyn Smythe reviewed these pictures while drinking the beer, now considered to probably be far more alcoholic than straight liquor. Imlyn Smythe joins us now.
Jack Durham. Jack Durham. I just knew him as Grandpa. This one's to you. It's really warm. Jack Durham was a Korean veteran, very active in the community. He lived at 423 Bleecher Street for most of his life. He bought the house right after marrying my grandmother, Mary, and they lived there for the rest of their days. And I lost Grandma Mary a few years back. And just lost Grandpa Jack 2 weeks ago, and it was tasked to me to go through his house, go through his effects, and that's when I came across this first case of Coors Light. It's very dry, rotted, and sun-damaged, from the sun shining into the attic. It's interesting that he just left these two bottles here. The bottles have those interesting tops where it has just like the little keyhole and you just pull it back and very dangerous lid on it. I'm pretty sure I've already cut my lip. Yeah. Also in the box was a box of photos. Nice little set of photos there. Oh, it's so warm. I feel like it's more carbonated over time. Like it really, really burst when I opened it. So yeah, and plus I didn't eat today, so we'll see how this goes. Anyways, back to the photos. The first photo that I stumble upon is actually my father as a baby, shortly after getting baptized. At least I think it's my father. His very manly face for a baby, but he is in a dress and a little bonnet. My family was never good at labeling things such as dates or names on photos. They didn't really care. Very, very stern and German and cold, if you will, unlike this beer. Then the next photo that I come across actually is Easter, which I know is Easter of 1986. It's a photo of my brother and I on Easter. And his basket is filled with eggs. Mine is filled with rocks.
Hey, Emmy, are you recording something down there?
Aaron, what do you... Yes, I'm working, Aaron. I told you I'm working.
I'm sorry. Are you drunk again?
No, I haven't even had. I haven't even had this one beer.
I know what you sound like when you're drunk. Okay, you sound drunk.
I know what you sound like when you're dick, Aaron. You sound just like this.
Okay. You know, I thought that you were gonna try and not drink as much. All right.
I'm not drinking as much. I'm drinking this much, which isn't that much.
Drinking this much. It sounds like you have been on a full-on bender.
It's just the day. This it has to be a long time to be a bender. And
why the hell are you even recording this?
It's only 10:30 in the morning. How could it be a bender?
Yeah, yeah, I know it's 10:30 in the morning. Wow, you sure are able to turn 10:30 in the morning into 10:50 at night. I don't even know. What the hell is wrong with you?
I told you, Aaron, I'm working. Why don't you go see if Mom needs a back rub?
Okay. Just sober up, okay? Don't let Mom see you like this.
I'm working on it. So anyway, that's my brother Aaron. Allegedly my brother. So anyways, past Easter in 1986. One down, one to go. Oh, man. It's so hot up here in this attic. Fan broke a long time ago. I remember when it broke. Yeah, I remember when it broke. It broke the same year that my heart broke. Yep, that was 2002. I was supposed to go to school dance with Gary Marshall. Yes. He was Gary Marshall. That was his name. It was a family name. He had a lot of facial hair for a high school boy. He was very handsome.
Em?
What?
Sweetie, I need you down here.
I'm working, Mom.
Aaron's hands are clammy.
Mom, I told you she's busy.
On what?
Mom, Mom.
Don't talk to her. Don't even
Are
talk
you
to
drunk?
No, she's just...
Working, recording
are you
project.
Drunk?
No, I'm just...
You sound drunk.
It's just hot up here. It's really...
What did I do, Lord? What did I do to deserve two of the weirdest children? My daughter drunk at 10:30 in the morning, and my son... Your hands are so clammy, Aaron. Stop it.
That doesn't make me weird, Mom.
It
okay?
does. You're like a little lizard man.
My hands are completely normal.
I'm not...
Are they?
Yes.
Touch the window.
I okay.
Touch the window, Aaron.
You know what? No.
Touch it.
The window, Aaron. Touch it.
Stop it. I don't want to live here anymore.
You put that beer down, young lady. Put that beer down.
It's not a beer. It's a ginger ale.
It's a ginger ale.
A warm ginger ale.
It's a warm ginger ale.
I like a warm.
I'm moving out. I'm going to move out, okay?
What?
I can't live here anymore.
Where are you going to go, Aaron?
I don't even know. I'm going to take my things. I'm just going to leave.
You're just going to go?
Yes.
Like Kerouac?
Maybe.
Boo-hoo, Aaron on an adventure.
Hey, you stay out of this.
I'll stay up and out of it, up here in the attic.
My God, put on your pants.
It's hot. I told you it was hot up here, Mom.
Why are you in the attic?
Because
there's a whole four floors of this house.
I'm recording for Grandpa's Coors Box radio show.
You went into the Coors Box?
For a segment. For work. It's for work. It's a job. I'm very important and artistic.
How long are you going to keep this job, huh?
A long time.
Because
I mean,
you know that we don't have enough money with Mom's condition.
Condition. Plantar fasciitis isn't a condition.
It certainly is.
It's a weakness.
Oh, I'll show you weakness. I'll show you. You don't.
Mom, no. Mom,
right now.
Don't.
You don't know what that cause box was, do you?
So warm.
Do you know what that cause box meant to this family?
Memories, truth, betrayal, deceit.
Close the attic, Aaron. If you can hold the rope to the door, close the attic.
I can hold the rope.
And let the ghosts of the past haunt her.
Easy, slippy fingers.
Fine. I'm closing you in.
Now we are alone. So the next photo that I see, there's... The next photograph that I stumble upon is of our dog, Mimi. She is a poodle. She's a good poodle. I think they called her a tabletop poodle. She was very tall and big. And I used to like lean on her like she was a table. So maybe that's why they call her a tabletop poodle. Anyways.
Hamelin. Granddaughter.
Papa?
It's Papa.
Papa? I drink a beer, Papa. I'm sorry.
I know.
It's really warm, Papa.
I know.
I think I'm gonna be sick, Papa.
I know.
Papa, I need to know.
I know.
Okay.
You were my favorite.
Oh, what?
You're my favorite grandchild. You released me into the house.
I did.
Back into the house.
Oh my God, Papa, you were in this can?
I was part of the can. I brewed the beer. I sealed it at the Coors Light Factory.
Were you in the first can or the second can? Please say the second can.
I was in both.
You were in both and I drank the whole first can, Papa.
And now I'm part of you. We have power.
We do. Any powers I could use on Aaron, Papa?
He's not your brother.
I knew it. I knew it, Papa. I knew it.
And I know that Mimi didn't. I know that Mimi didn't go to Aunt Stacy's house to live. I knew where Mimi went.
She went to Connecticut.
Oh, to live with Aunt Ruth?
To live with Aunt Ruth.
Oh,
but
okay.
You hated her.
I did.
You hated her.
I did. She always gave me nail polish. Unwrapped nail polish as a gift, and it was open.
Why are we still in the attic? Take me out of the attic, you dummy.
Okay, let's go. Let's
go. Take the cans. Always take
the cans. Take
the
cans, okay. What about the box? Do I need the box? The photos? Papa? Papa?
Emmy, who are you talking to up there?
Not you, Aaron.
Well, yeah, I know. That's obvious.
Aaron, I need you to open the thing. Can you do it with your hands?
Yeah.
It's really hot up here, Aaron.
They're not that clammy.
Aaron, I need you to use your clammy ass hands. No, open the door, Aaron.
I'm opening it.
I'm freaking out, Aaron. Oh God. Aaron.
Yeah.
You're not my brother.
I hate you. I hate this whole family.
No. Seriously, Aaron, I swear to God. And it's not just because I'm drunk, but I'm not drunk, but it's not just because I'm drunk. Papa was up there. Papa was up there, and he said I was his favorite, and I'm my brother. Aaron. It makes a lot of sense.
I don't know what you're saying.
It makes so much sense because I have chronically dry hands, and you have super wet hands. Your hands are so wet all the time, Aaron.
They're not. They're fine. They're normal hands.
Aaron, did you use the stove?
No!
I told you not to use the stove!
I didn't use the stove,
Mom!
Burger
is still on, Aaron! If you're going to use it, use the mitt!
Mom!
What?
Mom, I need you to come over by the attic, Mom!
I can't get there!
Just drag yourself! Put your shape-ups on and come over! Just use... Come on, Mom, please!
What is
Mom!
What is happening?
Mama, I talked to Papa. Papa was in the beer. And he said that Mimi was with Aunt Ruth, and I hate Aunt Ruth, and Aaron's not my brother.
How did you know that?
Papa told me. Papa's in the house now, Mom. I gotta move out too. You have to
Where are you gonna go?
I'm gonna...
What are you, like, Ginsburg? What is with you two knuckleheads? What did I deserve to have the two weirdest children?
I don't know where I'm going to go. I'm going to see where the wind takes me or this last beer takes me.
And she did. She wandered off and traveled America before finally bringing her segment here to This American Lie. In our last and final segment of this episode, we were really drunk. What the hell happened last night? When we return on This American Lie.
This American Lie is brought to you by strip malls. You know that one with the Kmart? And the Chuck E. Cheese? And the bowling alley? No? Yeah, I guess it is pretty sad. All three of them there. In the dim light. Sort of a forgotten place. How did we afford this ad?
Welcome back to This American Lie. I'm Ron Johnson, filling in for Ari Grass. And on today's episode, we were really drunk. We've been examining stories of drinking, of beer, of the nights we remember and the nights we don't remember. Well, I know for me, drinking has always meant parties and having a good time. Sometimes, too good a time. Elmo Turtlebaum is from Trout Lake, Michigan, where they had the greatest rager of the century. But on Thursday, July 5th, everyone in town woke up hungover, and no one remembers exactly what happened. Elmo decided to try and figure out what exactly happened in the grand old party of Trout Lake. Elmo joins us now.
Okay. I have the following items in my pockets. A book of matches. I have a joint. I have what appears to be a piece of a raccoon. I have also what appears to be a map with a number on it. It looks like a license plate. And the map is of the Turtlebaum home. My home. What the hell happened? Where did this map come from? I recognize the line work My buddy Jacko is sort of what I call a street artist. God, what had happened? I walked over to Jacko's garage. He doesn't like to live inside a proper house. He says that conformity can warp your mind. He lives out back in the garage where he took the door off so the wind can, what he says, cross breeze through.
Gerald Baum, great to see you.
What's up, Jacko? What's up, bro? What the hell happened last night?
I don't know, but you're the talk of the town.
Really?
Yeah, everyone keeps talking about you.
Oh my god, I feel like death, man.
You look alive to me.
It was supposed to be just like a quiet 4th of July, right? Riblets and fireworks.
Yeah. Sounds like America.
What is it with this map, man?
Oh, yeah, that looks like my work.
What is it? You drew my house.
Yeah, well, we started at your house, and I got a little bored, so I drew a picture of it.
You drew a map of my house.
Yeah, I'm talented.
You're missing at least 3 front teeth, Jacko. Do you know that?
Let me look in a mirror. Goddamn, you're right.
Hang on a second. I took out a book of matches. I looked at it. I recognized the label in the front as the dairy treat in the center of town. That's where Gracie Featherwig works. We used to date back in like middle school. Oh, holy shit, Jagger, your teeth are in here, man.
You got my teeth?
Yeah. Should we go to the dairy treat?
Yeah, but could we stop at the dentist afterward?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's a holiday. 4th of July on a Sunday, bro. Observation on Monday.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring my sketchbook.
Bring it. Me and Jacko headed on down to the dairy treat. I hadn't seen my lost lady love in quite some time. Although I had a feeling that maybe she was there last night. Due to the fact that Jacko's teeth ended up in a matchbox that had her place of business on. When I saw her, she was looking okay. Probably hungover too. Hey!
Hey, Elmo.
Hi.
Hey, Jacko.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, you guys are really loud.
Sorry.
I'm fine. I'm good. It totally sucks to be at work.
Yeah.
You want like a chili dog or something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm really hungover.
Okay, get you some chili dogs. So, how are you guys feeling? Oh my god, last night was so crazy.
What happened? What the hell happened last night? I can't remember anything that happened to me.
Really?
Did you guys know I'm missing my teeth?
Yeah, Jacko, yeah.
I gave them back to you.
Yeah, that was, you got in a fight with that raccoon last night, Jacko. You remember?
Stanley the raccoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him and I's been locking eyes for months.
You knew that raccoon, Jacko?
He's got a shifty eye.
I think he did.
I win?
You did, because he died. I'm sorry.
He was my friend.
He was like...
We were enemies, but then we became friends.
Okay, we're getting off topic here. What the hell happened last night? What did you see me do? Did I do anything weird? Like, I had a party. It was just supposed to be, you know, sodas and fireflies. What's going on here?
I didn't have any sodas, no.
What is this license plate? Whose license plate is this? Whose raccoon piece is this?
Well, that's probably his lettuce. All right.
And I'll have one milkshake.
A milkshake, okay. You want a twisty milkshake, like a swirl, like the two kinds?
Yes.
What do you want, strawberry?
I said.
What is it, Turtle Bomb?
What is it, Elmo?
Look over there! Look at the car! Look at the car over there!
What?
It's the same license plate. VN649TX. VN649TX.
You could see that from here?
Yeah.
Damn. Dude, what do you think it means? Like VN64.
I don't think it means
like
anything.
Vinny, it's like just Vinny 649. Like is that Erica, Texas? Is a person from Texas, maybe? I'm just trying to help.
I think it's just a randomized series of letters and numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah,
we have to follow it. We have to follow.
Sorry, the milkshake thing's real loud. Here you go.
It sounds like you should call a technician.
Is you twisty?
Come on, come on! Sprinted after it. A car, that was a motorcycle. A car didn't drive too slow. I mean, didn't drive too fast. Man, I'm hungover. Made me think that the driver was hungover too.
Stop running so fast, you guys.
I'm trying to figure out what happened last
night. I had so many chili dogs and then put eggs on them this morning.
I saw him. It's Clifford. Mixable. Clifford motherfucking Mixable. I haven't seen him in 10 years. I thought he was dead. Rumor had it that Clifford had his heart broken on prom. And he was so heartbroken, he drove off Finder's Ravine. I did him wrong the morning of. I knew that this had to be it, that this had to be the reason. I can't remember what happened last night in my own house. At the tournament home, my home. I knocked on the window.
Oh, hey, Elmo.
Clifford.
Oh, man. Good to see you, buddy.
Clifford.
Oh. Is it crazy bright in here? Or is that me?
Clifford, what are you doing here? Are you responsible for my memory? What the hell happened last night?
Last night? Am I in Trout Lake?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I have work today, man.
Where have you been living this past 10 years? Where have you been living this past 10 years?
Montgomery, man.
Montgomery?
I moved to Montgomery.
Montgomery, Michigan? That's on the other side of the lake.
I know. It's in the mitt. I know, man.
And we're in the dog.
We're in the dog right now. I need to be in the mitt in like
There's
8 minutes,
There's no way you can't
man.
Do that.
Fuck, dude.
Clifford, I need to search your car.
All right. Oh, shit. I got to stop saying all right when people ask me that, man. I have my rights or whatever.
I'm not a cop. I'm just a guy
who had
a party.
Okay, because if you were, you couldn't say that to me, man.
I know the rules. I know the rules of the cops.
Good. I'm glad. Okay, wait. Why do you know that, though?
Party
if
code.
You're not a cop?
Party code.
Okay, cool, man. Man, the last thing I remember, it was July 2nd. I was in Montgomery getting off my shift. And, I had just scored a bunch of cocaine. Probably did that. And now, the next thing I remember is this.
That's a big gap of
memory. I know, man. My life's been weird the last few years. It's good to see you, though, Elmo.
Clifford, why is my bed set in your back seat?
Is that what that is?
These are my pillows and my sheets.
You have Ninja Turtle pillows and sheets?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, dude.
These are my... Look, I stitched my name on them.
Elmo... Turtle. That's why, because you're the turtle guy. Turtle Baum. You like Ninja Turtles, dude.
Hey, look, it's the turtle guy.
Oh, no.
Everyone knows you as it, man.
Look, Elmo. Did you come here to ruin my life? Did you come here to make me lose thought, to take my friend's teeth?
Oh, shit, dude.
To kill his best raccoon?
Oh, no.
I have 3 questions for you.
You remember Jacko, right?
Hey, Jacko, buddy!
Number 1. How many teeth am I holding up?
You're holding up 3 Lucy's.
I have no further questions.
This is tripping me out, man. Okay, listen. I'm not going to pretend and sit here like I haven't thought about fantasizing your death for the last 10 years because you wronged me big time, buddy.
Big time.
But here I am with a big gap bigger than Jacko's teeth in my memory, and I'm trying to piece
Don't
together
make
what could have happened.
Me.
I'm not. I'm just using your teeth as an example. It was poignant. I'm trying to figure out what the heck has been going on in my brain the last 4 days because I don't remember Jack.
Sorry, Jacko, that was not a reference to you at all, dude.
I didn't take any offense to that.
All right, your teeth are missing. So I'm trying to sit here and be like, did I go on some kind of crazy cocaine binger? But then cocaine doesn't really affect your memory in that way, so I don't know what the fuck happened.
Can I ask you a question? Where do you work?
I work at the Charles E. Cheese.
The Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, I'm a ticket refiller there. They've been pretty good to me. I got a 20-cent raise.
He's lying.
He is lying. And like lightning, I realized exactly what had happened. All the clues were in front of me the whole time, and they spilled together like a seamless sweater, and I realized that I was the greatest detective in the world. 10 years ago, Clifford and I were in an argument. Over who? None other than Miss Dairy Treat herself. And it was bad. It was prom night. He wanted to go with her, but instead, Grace and I ended up dancing together all night long. That's when Clifford drove away, supposedly down the cliff, but I knew that was wrong. He just went to the other side of the state. That's why no one could find him, because it's the other side of Michigan. The glove. And then 10 years later, he comes back, full hopped up on cocaine. He drives the 3 hours to the other side, to the glove. And who does he run into? Jacko. No door on the garage. He makes Jacko draw the map to my house. Pulls out 3 of his own teeth. And with that information, and everyone hopped up on all the woozies and what's-its of all his drug kingpins, he sneaks into my bedroom and steals the most precious thing in the world to me, my Ninja Turtle bed sheets. I had him red-handed.
Your eyes are looking fiery, man.
Yeah, they are.
Wait, I know you. Clifford Mixtable.
Yeah,
Mix
man.
Table. DJ Mixtip. We booked you for my brother's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just one other thing, Cliff. Where's the raccoon?
Where's my friend?
Your partner? I found him!
No!
Get back!
Damn it! No! No! Get back here! Shit! My plan! Foiled!
Arrest him, Gracie.
Gracie, hi!
Hey, guys, sorry I fell asleep in the car.
Arrest him, Gracie.
Clifford, I just make twisties and chili dogs. I mean, I don't know if I can, like, overpower someone.
No, it's okay, Gracie. Do what he says. You know, you should have cuffed me, okay? I did a bad thing. Okay. It was all for you, though. It was in the name of love.
Oh, Clifford. Cliffy.
No, Cliff. You're sheriff now. We all voted for you last night.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Really?
It's tattooed on your back.
I can't.
Here, look at this mirror.
Oh, there. Yeah. Oh, I was getting so dizzy.
Wait a minute. I'm missing 3 teeth.
Sometimes I wish the sun would shine down on Trout Lake, Michigan like it does in sunny California. But here it's just a gray overcast of partiers and hoosits and drifters and good time people. And crime. And revenge.
Wow. I'm not sure I understood all of that story. It seems like perhaps it's difficult to tell a story when no one remembers anything about it. But it sure seemed dramatic. Well, that was our last story of the night. And I think that no matter how much they were hard to remember for the people involved, we'll never forget them. Come back next month for another episode of This American Lie. Until then, I'm Ron Johnson, and thank you for listening. We would like to thank our producers, Gilbert Stoley, Don Philip Bankman, Evelyn Smythe, Elmo Turtlebaum, Dan Hebert, Micah Gordon, Janelle Benish, Brian Flynn, and Jordan Pridgen. And of course, the big boss man, Tori Malatia, who saw something somewhat strange floating in his drink the other day.
You're holding up 3 Lucys, man.
This has been This American Lie. Have a good night.
Hey everyone, this is Brian Flynn from This American Lie, along with Jordan Pridgen, Dan Heber, Micah Gordon, Janelle Benish. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at This Amer Lie, AmerLie, and subscribe and rate.
We'll be back next month.
We'll be back next month.
Thanks for listening.